Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's the official start of the holiday season, and that means it's party time. Parties make me think of a particular song that, like no other, insinuated itself into almost every social gathering at one time. It doesn't take more than a couple of beats to tell what it is, and the impulse is to just join in. That's what traditionally happened when anyone started playing the jaunty bass part of the song Heart and Soul. Somebody was always around to run over and play the melody. You just had to. One person told me she lived next door to someone and they both had pianos, so they'd play Heart and Soul through the wall. One playing the bass in one apartment, the one next door pounding out the melody in octaves. It was infectious. What nobody remembers now is what Heart and Soul actually was. No, not a folk tune, not some traditional song that's been around forever, but a fully composed pop tune, a hit of another era. Music by Hoagy Carmichael, lyrics by Frank Lesser. The year was 1938. It was their first collaboration.
Heart and Soul, I fell in love with you, heart and soul, the way a fool would do madly, because you held me tight and stole a kiss in the night.
Heart. Both Hoagy Carmichael and Frank Lesser were in Hollywood, and they both were under contract to Paramount Pictures.
Will Friedwald is the author of Stardust Melodies. He reminds us that as unlikely a pair as these two songwriters were, the Indiana-born Carmichael in mid-career, the New York boy Lesser just starting out, there was this moment that was theirs.
They worked on quite a few projects in that particular period, which was about 3 or 4 years from the late 30s, going up until World War II.
Their song Small Fry was written around that time, too. Heart and Soul was one of their hits. It was introduced in a short film called A Song Is Born with Larry Clinton and his orchestra. Clinton had discovered a young singer in her late teens named Bee Wayne. She'd sung an 8-bar solo on the radio, and Clinton said he knew right away she was what he wanted in a singer.
And he called me after the Kate Smith Hour, and he said, I'm starting a band, and I'm looking for a girl singer, and I'd like you to work with me. And I said to myself, he's crazy.
When the deep purple falls.
Wayne spent about a year and a half with Clinton, and they had their share of hits. If you listen to the Clinton-Wayne original version of Heart and Soul, which, by the way, went to number one in 1939, that familiar vamp is right in there, that jagged rhythm that later piano players picked up on.
Heart and soul.
It's all conjecture, of course, but pianist and writer Stuart Isikoff thinks the rhythm is a big part of what helped Heart and Soul take off to become the phenomenal favorite of party piano players.
It's easier to play a jagged rhythm and to stay in time than to play something smoothly and stay in time. So it's in a sense, maybe this funny, raggy rhythm was a hook, and it just fired people up at the time and made the thing as popular as it is.
The raggy rhythm turned up in another Clinton Wayne hit of the same year, My Reverie. But that song had a much more complicated melody. With Heart and Soul, the two parts, top and bottom, were simple, and they presented themselves so clearly.
And then the same pattern again on a higher pitch. And then downward.
So it became this obsessive duet among amateurs. And the melody and chord structure were in a loop, so you could keep playing it over and over and over again.
Most people then play that is not a part of the song. Somewhere along the way, someone thought, let's make it even more logical by just continuing the downward steps. Actually, I have the music here, and what Carmichael did was Thank you.
because of its life as a party piano favorite. Everybody knows the tune, but when it comes to singing it, everyone goes, heart and soul, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
I can't think of that many cases where the lyric has even been done in the last 50 years. It's not known that much as a song with a lyric, even though it is a very nice lyric by Frank Lesser.
Nobody knows the bridge.
Oh, but your lips were thrilling, that's the bridge. Oh, so thrilling. Never before were mine so strangely willing. That's the bridge.
But now I see what one embrace can do. Look at me.
After it hit, the singer B. Wayne took it out on the road to college proms.
We played at Yale, we played at Harvard, and the kids would scream for the song, heart and soul and so forth.
The fact is, it was really B. Wayne's song for a while. She sort of owned it, and she put her stamp on it.
I went for one of the high notes, because on My Reverie, it became a big hit because I took a high note at the end. And so I did that on Heart and Soul, too.
Plenty of people recorded it later.
But now I see what one embrace can do. Look at me.
Heart and soul, I fell in love with your heart and soul.
But the way Heart and Soul caught on, the way it delighted and excited piano players, well, that was something different. One of life's mysteries, perhaps. Although B. Wayne has her own idea of why it was such a success story.
Musically, 38, 39, the early 40s, those were the best times for our kind of good music. The songs were wonderful, and people could sing them themselves. And that's how they became hits as well.
This song, though, was more than just a hit. It was in the minds and hearts and souls and fingers of generations of kids, hammering it out over and over. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkin.